This chapel message is brought to you by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
Sometimes as a pastor, as a teacher, God gives you a message that just kind of dumps on your heart and you share it. And other times it's something he puts in your heart and you, for months and months and months, you kind of stew on it and you meditate on it and you let it marinate for a while. This is one of those messages that I've been thinking about for months and months and months, and I'm not even sure I'm done with it, but I want to share it with you this morning. It's based in John chapter 1, verses 10 and through 12. In the New King James, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. What's your greatest fear? You ever thought about that? What's something that you think about is just, maybe it's a public fear, but for many of us, we have some fears that are kind of hidden fears we don't like to talk about. And what is your greatest fear? Well, I believe today, for many, it's the fear of rejection. There are many who have experienced an encounter of rejection. One of their greatest fears in life is to be rejected. For a lot of people, that's because of something that happened maybe early in their lifetime. As a young child, maybe it was with something with a parent, a loved one, an experience at school, they experienced a significant rejection, and because it was never dealt with in a helpful way, it's something they've carried for their entire life. And you might be able to identify that with that today. Maybe it was a rejection in a relationship, a rejection for a job that you applied for, just something significant that had a big impact on your lives. You know, these moments of rejection can be uncomfortable. They can be unpleasant, for sure. They can be even unsettling in our lives. And if we're not careful, and if we don't deal with these experiences of rejection, they can become very problematic in our life. I got thinking, because this is a rather common thing, it's not probably something today that no one in the room here has ever experienced rejection, right? If you've experienced rejection somewhere, somehow, maybe daily, whatever, you know, most of us can identify with this thing. But I just thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of look through some famous people who also experienced rejection before they hit it big, okay? Before they came through, before they encountered something interesting. Just a few stories to kind of get us going on. See if you can identify who these people are, and then I'll tell you at the end. When this group was just getting started out, a recording company told them, no way. Decca Recording Studios, who had recorded 15 songs with this group, said, we don't like your sound. There's no way you'll ever make it. And besides that, guitars are on their way out of business. You know who they were? The Beatles, right? Imagine being the brilliant person that told the Beatles, you're not going to make it. Well, how about this one? This young man was 15 years old. He was 5'10" tall, and yet he wanted to be a professional basketball player. He was then cut from his high school basketball team because he had a lack of skill. This man went on to make 14 All-Star Games appearances and won 6 NBA championships. You know who his name was? Michael Jordan. How about that? Can you imagine that rejection? You have a lack of skill. I think the person who assessed that may have a lack of skill. How about this one? He wanted to become a singer from the age, a young age, and in 1954 was still driving a truck. After his first performance, he was told by Jimmy Denny, the manager of the Grand Ole Opera, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back and drive a truck." Who is he? Also known as the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley. Son, you ain't going nowhere. Huh, interesting. In 1919, the editor told this individual he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. That's a pretty big rejection, right? You lack imagination. You don't have any good ideas. He then received over 300 rejections from bankers because his animation idea seemed crazy. You know who it was? Walt Disney. Further, when he finally started making it a little bit, they told him this truth. He said that this idea of a Mickey Mouse would never, ever work because it would terrify women to death. Huh? Great. These all the people, they were rejected, right? They experienced it. How about this one? After his first movie career, he two lines in the film. Oh, I gave it away, right? Oh, I gave it away. He had two lines. They said he'd never make it in movies. I think he's done pretty good, huh? This one I thought was really interesting, pretty timely. In 1987, Kent State head football coaching job came available, and the athletic director and the school was looking at two candidates to take this head coaching position. Dick Crum had just been forced to resign from his position in North Carolina after 10 seasons, and he was on the short list. The other was a young man who just had come off a Rose Bowl win as the defensive coordinator at Michigan State. The administration liked Crum's experience better than the 36-year-old and thought that Crum had a better outcome and would be better for the school, and so they chose Crum over this young man. He felt dejected and rejected, especially because it was his home school, his alma mater, that rejected him and didn't think he would make a very good football coach. Nick Saban, 7 national champions, one of the greatest football coaches ever. He said that at the end of that experience, he seriously contemplated never going into coaching college ball. Rejected. So I guess maybe it's right, into every life, a little rain, or maybe the better word is rejection, will come into every life. Someone said, LeCroix Moore said this, if you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. If you live for people's acceptance, if all you're doing is trying to live for people's appraisal and praise and the applause of men, then we're often going to have a difficult time of dealing with this idea of rejection. So what is rejection? Well, simply, rejection involves being excluded from a social relationship or interaction. It is the act of refusing to accept, use, or believe something or someone. Someone did something, and they kind of put their hand up, they rejected it. In Latin, the word simply means that it's to throw back at someone. When you reject someone, you're throwing back. They've offered you something, they've reached out to you, and there's this throwback that takes place, and it's rejection, and again, it can be very painful. Researchers as they begin to dig into this idea of rejection, they begin to realize that the roots of rejection found surprising evidence that the pain of being excluded is really no different than the pain of physical injury, the pain of rejection. And as alarming, as surprising as that may be, it's really not ultimately that surprising, because if you've been through the pain of rejection, you know how much it hurts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, in our Christianity has ceased to be serious about discipleship. If we have watered down the gospel into emotional uplift, which makes no costly demands and which falls to distinguish between natural and Christian experience existence, then we cannot help regarding the cross as an ordinary everyday calamity, as one of the trials and tribulations of life. We have then forgotten that the cross means rejection and the shame as well as suffering. We sometimes forget that in this world as following Christ, that rejection comes as a part of the experiences of life. I've often wondered why people don't share their faith more often. You know what I think it comes down to? Fear of rejection. If I go share someone, they may think I'm crazy, they may think I'm a radical, they may say no to me, and they often reject. So a lot of people don't hold on to sharing their faith much because they feel that they might be rejected. Lisa Turnquist has written a lot about this idea of rejection, had some great things, and I think this really goes along well with what Jeff was sharing with us in chapel on Tuesday. She writes, rejection isn't just an emotion we feel, it's a message that we send to the core of who we are, causing us to believe lies about ourselves, others, and God. We connect an event from today to something harsh someone once said. That person's lying becomes a label. The label becomes a lie, and the lie becomes a liability in how we think about ourselves and interact in every future relationship. It all starts with, as you talked about the other day, a lie that gets told to us and we believe it, and that rejection becomes very severe. I said I've been trying to deal with this personally for quite a while, because it's one of the great fears that I have is being rejected. And some people may be surprised about that, but it's really true. It's one of the great fears that I have. And I began to ask this question: how did Jesus deal with rejection? Did he deal with rejection? And the answer is absolutely. And so I put together this little three little things today, and I've tried to make it as simple, as memorable as possible, because most of us at some point have dealt with rejection, maybe are dealing with some kind of rejection right now, and we need some help on how Jesus dealt with this situation. And so for just a few moments, I want to talk some reflection on rejection. Some reflection on rejection. I believe that the dysfunction we experience in the present is often a reaction to the rejection we encountered in our past. The dysfunction that we experience in the present tense dysfunction that we often have in terms of relationships and the way we interact with other people, is often the outcome or a reaction to the rejection that we experience at some point in our life. And sometimes if that rejection has been consistent in our lives, then we just carry around that baggage with us our whole life, and it becomes a part of who we are, and it shouldn't be, and it becomes very difficult. I was sharing this prayer request in our prayer time yesterday, and Mike had just read this quote from Dallas Willard, and he shared it with me. I share it with you. America is a culture of rejection, whether we know it or not. And so many people that you're interacting with on a day-to-day basis, they're encountering rejection. They're living with rejection. They're trying to move on beyond rejection. So how did Jesus deal with this idea of rejection? And if we follow his example and how he dealt with it, what do we need to do with it? And there's three simple things. Number one, take it in perspective. Take it in perspective. Jesus was rejected. We know that theologically. We don't always know that personally, and we don't always identify with Christ in that level. We know he was. Let me just share over, there's a ton of scriptures about this idea that we should take it in perspective. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected, right? A man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. He turned his back on him and he looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. John 1:11, our text, he came to his own and his own rejected him. His own didn't receive him. Those are his own people. John 5, verse 44, for I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come to you in their own name, you gladly welcome them. Me, you rejected. Acts 3, verse 13 and 14, for it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despising Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. Jesus was despised and rejected. He can identify. He's not a man who is not unassociated and unacquainted with our grief. In fact, we still need to understand that as you look theologically, he's still being rejected today, even after this incredible offer of salvation. He came to his own didn't receive him, they didn't believe him, he's the son of Mary, he's got brothers and sisters, he's the son of the carpenter, right? All these kind of identifications, they reject him, he dies on the cross, he's buried, resurrects 3 days later, and he's alive, he's victorious, and yet people still reject this free gift of salvation. Hebrews 6, verse 6, and when they turn away from God, it is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. The people still are rejecting God's gift of salvation. His rejection impacts his followers. Because he was rejected, we need to take this in perspective, because he was rejected, who do we think? A student is not above his master, right, is what the scripture says. And so if Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And Luke 10, verse 16 says, for he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you, they reject me. I remember the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. Samuel is distraught because the people of Israel have decided, we want to be like all the other nations of the world. God's saying, I want to be your king. I want to direct you. I want to lead you. I want to take care of you. No, we want to be like all the other nations of the world. And Samuel's distraught. And God says to him in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, listen, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. That's a biblical principle. When people reject Christ, they're not rejecting us. We take it personally sometimes. We feel the pain. We feel the uncomfortableness of it. Rick Warren said, since God intends to make you like Jesus, he will take you through the same experiences Jesus went through. That includes loneliness, temptation, stress, criticism, rejection, and many other problems. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you and they exclude you. I thought that was interesting. You remember what the definition was of rejection? An exclusion. When they exclude you, blessed are you because and revile against you and cast your name out evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Over and over again, we read that Jesus experienced rejection. He continues to encounter rejection. So if Jesus encountered rejection and we're followers of Christ, then let's take it in perspective. It helped me to understand that if Jesus encountered it, then I'm one of his followers. I'm probably going to encounter it in my life from sometimes people I love and care about, people who reject you and kind of throw back something at you and you can experience. So number one, take it in perspective. Number two, shake it off and move on. Shake it off and move on. There, Jesus writes in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, and whoever will not receive you, but that's a rejection, right? If they don't receive you, Jesus was rejected and despised. If they don't receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for that city. Interesting, this phrase, shake the dust off your sandals, is only used four times in the New Testament. And all four times are when Jesus was sending out his disciples into the mission field and to go out and carry on and to spread the gospel and to tell the good news about Jesus Christ. But he warns them with this. He says, listen, I'm going to send you out to be these primary missionaries. You're going to be the startup of this missionary movement, but one of the things you can count on and that you're going to encounter is some rejection. So take it in perspective. They rejected me. They're going to likely reject you. But if you go into a place and they don't accept you, they don't receive your message, shake the dust off your sandals. I think this is a concept we don't really think too much about because we take the rejection and we take it personally. We don't learn this biblical concept of shaking the dust off our sandals. Shaking the dust off our sandals of one's feet conveys the same idea of our modern phrase, I'm washing my hands of this. Remember Pilate, when he got fed up, he's like, hey, I think he should be released. They rejected Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. He's innocent. And he washes his hands. When you've done everything you can do to kind of convince someone of a path that they're going down and you've tried everything you can do to kind of bring light to the situation, oftentimes we'll say, I'm just washing my hands because I don't want anything to do with this. I think this is a mistake. This is going down a wrong path. In other words, that's the New Testament idea of shaking the dust off your sandals. Remember in Acts chapter 13, when Paul and his missionary companions are getting ready to, the Jews aren't receiving the gospel, and so they decide, hey, we're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. What'd they do? They shook the dust off their sandals. At one point, they shake the dust off their very clothing. What an incredible concept for us to understand this biblical idea. Okay, number one, the idea of rejection, how Jesus dealt with it. Take it in perspective. They've rejected Jesus, they're probably going to reject us. We're going to encounter it at some points along the way. Number two, if it happens, shake the dust. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how... Listen, there are people right now who are carrying around the weight of the dust of rejection that came in their lives because someone threw something back at them. And they've never been able to move on. They've never been able to experience real joy and encounter God's fullness in their lives because they've just never let go of some dust that was thrown in their faces. Number one, take it in perspective. Number two, shake it off, shake the dust off and move on. And number three, make something of it. Make something of it. I love these verses of Scripture. In Acts chapter 4, 11, Psalm 118, 22, Matthew 21, verse 42, Mark 12, verse 10, they all say the same thing. The stone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You see, Jesus took something in the experience. It was painful, it was harsh, it was difficult, it was unwarranted, and he took it and he made something significant of it. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and leading priests, and the disciples have no idea what's going on. But then he says this, he would be killed, but there will be 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. God was going to take some rejection, something bad, and turn it into something significant in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, you're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by God's people, by his people, but he was chosen by God for greater honor. He made something of it. God did something with it. Just think about this idea. Jesus was despised and rejected. It could have called, the Bible tells us in Matthew 26, verse 53, 10,000 angels to assist him at that moment. I'm glad I wasn't in his position because I may have taken advantage of that, right? Like, okay, you're going to despise, you're going to throw dust in my face, you're going to reject me, you're going to do all this stuff to me, you're going to lie, you're going to despitefully use, you're going to throw back my claims, what I said, who I am, you're going to throw all that back. Take care of them. Isn't that what most of us would like to do with the people that reject us? No, Jesus saw a bigger picture. He could have called, but he forgave them. On the cross, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Do you see what's beginning to happen in this experience of where you take it in perspective, shake the dust off your sandals, and make it into something significant? And so you ask the Father to forgive them, and he takes on the sins of the world. He dies on the cross, and 3 days later, after he's buried, he rose from the grave. And here's what he did. He made something significant of it. He turned rejection into redemption. He took a rejection, a story of rejection, and turned it into something significant. And by the way, all of us who believe in the name of the Son of God and believe in the gospel, that he died, was buried, and he rose again, receive redemption because of his rejection. Common. It was common to man, rejection. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And for the sake of time, we won't read all those chapters today, but I think you know the story, right? And so what happens? Joseph, he's got these dreams. He's a dreamer. He's got the coat of many colors that comes from his father. He's a little bit favored more than the other brothers. They become jealous of him. He can't make some claims about some great things he's going to do in his life. They get mad. They're going to kill him. They decide, hey, we can at least get some money out of him. So they reject him, throw him off into prison. By the way, the story of Joseph is also a typology of the picture of Jesus in the New Testament, right? He's a type of Christ. Which is also very interesting because Joseph takes his rejection, and all of a sudden, later on, God's moved him, taken care of him, moved him up into one of the most powerful positions in all the land. And so he could have used his power and used his position to get back at his brothers and taught them a significant lesson, but he didn't. Why? Because the same's true with Joseph as it was with Jesus. He turned rejection into redemption. And because of the outcome that Joseph had, his outlook, he was able to look at these experiences of rejection and realize, you meant this for bad, but God meant this for good, and God's going to turn this into something rather significant. Human rejection can be God's divine protection and God's provision, and sometimes it may even be God's redirection. If we look at it right, if we take it in perspective that Jesus was rejected, and likely we will be too. When we are rejected, we need to shake the dust off our sandals and move on. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and help us forgive and turn something bad into something good. All these people I talked about at the beginning, they received a rejection. And for many people, that would have been enough to say, I quit. Forget it. Maybe right now you've gone through rejection and you're contemplating that. Hey, I don't need to put up with this. I don't need to take this. I don't need to go through with this. But maybe God's got a different plan, and maybe you didn't get this because God has this for you, and it's much more significant. The only thing, as Lulu Giglio says, that will help us move past the giant of rejection is immersing ourselves in the acceptance of Christ. The only thing that will help us move past rejection is immersing ourselves in the acceptance of Christ. And I think about this verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he has accepted us in the Beloved. This one who was rejected and despised, will never reject us. And I may experience rejection from other people or other circumstances. They may throw something back in my face. That may happen in my life, but I am accepted in the Beloved, and I am His, and He is mine. And we have this incredible hope. God can turn something significant. Now, the challenge is, I've been working on this for months, so there's a whole lot more, okay? And I'm not going to give it to you right now, but let's just stop right there. I just feel like this is where the Lord wants us to stop. But if you've experienced rejection in your life, three things I want you to walk away. Take it in perspective, shake the dust off your sandals, move on, and make something great of it. Make something significant. Let God use that for His honor and His glory. Father, thank You for our time together today. I pray that You'd use these words that You've been teaching me from about rejection and help it to be an encouragement to our hearts for those who are here today who are going through a difficult time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.